Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, feline friends. Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. Well, we're talking about New York again. I can't help it, but the city, you know, what can you say? New York is everything. Anyways, we're going to talk about a wonderful historical cat tour that you can take, as well as talk a little about the bodega cats of New York and why they get a bad rap sometimes. My guests today are the founders, each the co-founder of Cats About Town Tours. So stay tuned. Can't wait to talk to them.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Peggy Gavin and Daniel Romato. Welcome, Peggy.
Well, thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited to talk about Cats About Town Tours with your listeners.
I love that New York accent. It's funny because lately I've had a lot of New York. So I'm thinking, is the universe sending me a sign that I have to go there again? Because I was born there, but I didn't spend a lot of my life there. I live in what I call South New York, which is South Florida. We're South New York.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much. We're a mix, but South New York. Anyway, so Cats About Town Tours. You're the co-founder. What inspired you to create Cats About Town Tours?
Well, about 5 years ago, just before COVID lockdown hit, I got my New York City tour guide license, which is you have to go through a lot of studying and you have to take a test, and it's this big process. And I was going to be joining another tour company to do some tours about animals in New York City history. And I got my license. I was all excited. And then COVID came along and there went that. So about a year ago, I got a call from Dan Romata, who's my co-founder, my partner, my business partner. And he and I had both been on a documentary about cats of old New York and just cats of New York City. And so he contacted me and he said, hey, you know, I've been thinking about doing this walking tour with like cat stories and stuff. Would you be interested? And I was like, of course. I said, I've been trying to do something since before COVID. So we just partnered up, and I can't even tell you, within a week, we had the name of the tour, the company, we had the website up and running, we had the registrations up and running, and we were already starting to get publicity. It went so quickly. It was just amazing. So that's kind of how it all came together.
So why cats, though?
Well, I have been writing about cats. In fact, my license for my car is Cat Writer. My husband got that for me for Christmas a few years ago. I am a cat historian, and I write about cats in New York City, old New York City history. And I've been doing a website for about 15 years now, and I have a book called The Cat Men of Gotham, which is all about men who loved cats in the 18th and 19th century. In fact, a lot of the stories from my tours come from this book. And so, yeah, I have a love of cats. I love New York City, and I just love sharing my stories with people. So it just came together really perfectly.
Okay. And I heard that Daniel just joined us.
Yeah.
Hey, Michelle. I'm here.
Hi, Daniel. Welcome. What inspired you to go make the About Town Tours cat-focused?
Yeah, well, so I realized that there were no animal-related tours in New York City, and there's very few throughout the United States. So I figured, hey, I have something kind of promising happening here with Bodega Cats of New York and the Instagram account. People in New York City seem to really love cats. I'm also a history buff. I love history, especially New York City history. So I decided, hey, why don't I stitch this all together and start a walking tour about, you know, cats in New York City. And I started to piece it together myself, and I started reading. It's funny, I started like memorizing Peggy's Hatching Cat blog. I started to try to memorize the stories and really try to, you know, learn as much as I possibly could. This is before I even knew Peggy. And I ended up reaching out to her and I said, hey, would you be up for like a quick phone call? I have an idea for a tour that I'd like to start. I'm going to get my license and I'm going to, you know, do all these tours myself. And then, as luck would have it, Peggy's like, you know, I had a very similar idea to this. Why don't we work together on it? And I said, absolutely. So we linked up that way. And it was just, you know, serendipitous. It ended up working out perfectly. And me and Peggy get along famously. And we're running this awesome, you know, tour about cats in New York City, the first one ever.
Do you both have cats?
I have three cats. They're all rescue cats from the shelter in town. I have Jack and Jeter, who are all black cats, brothers. And then I have Misha, who is their older sister. She's a Diluc tortoise, and she does not really like her brothers that much, but they do tolerate each other. And I'm limited to three cats. My husband tells me if I get any more than three cats, we will get divorced.
You know what? I have three, and my partner wanted to get more, and I have like allergies and mild asthma with them. And I said, get any more and I won't be able to breathe. At that time, we had two dogs and three cats. So
that's so funny.
All rescues. Daniel, what do you have?
I've got two ragamuffins. One of them is sleep. Oh, it's blurred, but I got one sleeping in my cat tree in the window here. That's Coco. So I've got brother and sister. And it's Coco and Charles. I've had them for a few years now, and they're just the best. And I had to lock one out of the room, unfortunately, and he's clawing at the door as I'm talking, because you can't lock a door. You can't shut a door when you have cats, obviously. So, yeah, I've got Coco and Charles here with me.
Okay, helping monitor and helping you with questions and so forth. So let's get to the tour. How did you decide on the very first either cat, or was it the location that had cat, or was it, hey, do you know about this cat? I know about this cat. We have to go to this place and talk about this cat. What was the first one, and why did you choose that very first cat?
What I did was, I mean, I have the book, The Catmen of Gotham, and I have my website, The Hatching Cat of New York City, which has about 500 stories, all different animals, not just cats, but dogs and horses. And so I went through both of those, my book and my website, and my goal was to find an area where I not only did I have a lot of cat stories in within, like, say, a 1 or 2 mile radius, but also an area that had some interesting history. And so we first landed on Brooklyn Heights. I had some great stories, some historical cat stories from Brooklyn Heights. Brooklyn Heights is America's first suburb. It's got over 600 buildings that are protected by the Landmarks Conservation Society. So it was just a really great way to start the tours. And then from there, I did the same thing. I, again, looked for two more areas in New York City that, again, had this concentration of stories with history. And so we landed on the Lower East Side, the Bowery area, and then the Financial District. So those are the three tours that we currently run right now.
Okay, thank you. For those of us listening that are not in New York and unfortunately might not get to New York soon, what would you suggest as far as if they're looking to create their own tour in their city, or maybe look for a tour in their city that is cat focused?
Well, I mean, I would hope that if they were going to start a cat tour company in their city, they would reach out to us and let us kind of help them. Although I'm not an expert in other cities, but I could certainly help people. But again, it's really the same thing as trying to find old cat stories from a particular neighborhood and try to find a neighborhood that is got a lot of history in it. And that's and easy to walk too. I mean, there's a lot to have to think about. You know, is it easy to walk? Can people with wheelchairs do this tour? And you know, you have to kind of go through it and make sure that it really fits for everybody. So it's not the easiest thing to do.
Right. I mean, it sounds, oh, let's just do a tour about cats, but there's so much more involved than we're starting here. We're just going to walk and I'm going to point to things. There's a lot more involved, especially the knowledge.
Yeah, we lucked out with Peggy. I mean, Peggy has a wealth of knowledge, not just about history, but about how cats are related to that history of New York City. So we have, you know, a well-known cat historian as a co-founder of his company, and she's, you know, our lead tour guide. So we're super, super lucky. But I don't know if there's many other Peggies out there in the United States who, you know, can co-found this type of tour. So they'll be pretty hard-pressed to find somebody like her. So we very, very lucky to have Peggy.
So if you love cats and you want a good cat tour, you have to go to New York.
You have to. You must. Yeah.
I would think, too, that you have to find a walking city. There's not all cities are walking cities. L.A. is not a walking city. I lived there at one point, I know. San Francisco is a walking city, some parts of it. It's hard because you have to find a walking city and there's not, you know, Boston maybe. So that's the challenge.
Philadelphia, maybe. Yeah. It has to have like deep historical roots. Boston is a great example. Philly would be a great example. Up and down the East Coast, the cities here that have like deep connections for like the, you know, the founding of the country. I think those are going to be the really the good types of cities for these types of tours.
Yeah. Not where I am. That's for sure.
Well, you're welcome to come on our tour.
So, okay, let's talk about, Peggy, what is the one historical story that you always like to share that is just quirky and unusual and is a must, you know, this is where you must stop every tour because it's just so interesting.
One of my tours, I have a favorite story because remember, we're in three different sections of the city. So in Brooklyn Heights, my favorite story is about Jerry Fox, who was a blind cat. He lived to be about 28 years old, and he saved Brooklyn Borough Hall from burning down. In the Lower East Side, my favorite story is about a cat named Nicodemus, who was a cat who starred in the very, very first national cat show at Madison Square Garden in 1895. And then in the Financial District, my favorite story is about a cat named Mutilator, who was the cat for the New York Sun newspaper. So each of those three stories are just, they have a lot of history. They are like, people just laugh and you can see the expressions on people's faces. They just find these stories to be absolutely amazing. And they are just really fun stories to share.
Now, we're Catitude, so we're all about cats, but, you know, there's all kinds of cat lovers. Some are fanatical cat lovers. Some are just like, okay, I have a cat, you know, or maybe I want to have a cat. But your tour is also deeply, deeply historical, as we've been discussing. So even if you're a dog lover, which I don't know why you're listening to Catitude, but thank you. But if you're a dog lover, you'll still love your tour.
One of our recent tours, we actually had somebody bring their dog on the tour. Mm-hmm. We've had people bring their cats, but recently we did have a dog person. And yes, it is because we tell a lot of history and it's just kind of a really fun way to learn the history of New York City. I kind of describe it as mini history lessons interrupted by fun cat stories. So it's, and I always tell everybody there's no test at the end. But, you know, like really fun stories like, you know, this building was where Houdini performed and this spot is the man who invented Jell-O. And there's just a lot of, you know, the cat who saved Deborah Harry, a blondie, from dying. You know, like, wow. There's just amazing history in all of our tours. So it's really for everybody. So
sometimes when I describe the tour and what people are going to discover, sometimes when I describe it, I like to say like Brooklyn Borough Hall in Brooklyn Heights, it has its own history. It's deeply significant in Brooklyn and Brooklyn Heights. And it's got a really long historical past, but there's a whole nother dimension and it has to do with cats. And it was so funny, like when Peggy was stitching together like the stops and the itinerary for these tours, I kept thinking like, oh, wow, I had no idea like the cat historical significance of like CBGB or Borough Hall or something. But it was just so interesting to know that like there's more than just like the history books history. There's a whole other dimension and it has to do with animals. And in our case, it has to do with cats. So if you are a cat fanatic, then you are welcome to come on our tour. And if you're in New York City, yeah, please come by.
Okay. And we're going to talk to you more because you also, we want to find out about the bodega cats of New York. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Real people, Real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Peggy Gavin and Daniel Ramada, and we talked in the first half about the cats, about town tours in New York. They're both co-founders, and Peggy is the lead tour guide. Now we're going to talk about the Bodega Cats of New York, which are probably part of your cat tours. What is it about Bodega Cats? And for those that don't know, what is a bodega?
Yeah, so a bodega is a easiest way to picture it is it's a convenience store. It's a deli. Typically, it's independently owned, typically family owned, but it's a convenience store where you can get staples, everything from Arizona iced tea to Doritos to cigarettes to Band-Aids and aspirins.
Cat food.
Cat food, absolutely. Tons of cat food. Yeah, yeah. And in New York City, in these bodegas, you can also find cats, working animals. They are there to serve a purpose, and their purpose is mainly rodent control. Even just the smell of a cat from a rodent will deter pests and rodents, mice and rats, which, as your listeners probably know, we have a bit of a problem here in New York City with that. So these cats are a like natural form of pest control.
You know, I did a show not that long ago, and we talked about that. And the author of the book said, I think there is a rat for every person. Where I live, and then we were talking about what's worse. So rats or mice or roaches, because where I live in South Florida, it's tropical. We have roaches. We just do. They said they preferred rats or mice. I said, oh, I'll take a roach any day.
Oh.
Well, compared to a rodent.
We actually have a rat czar in New York City. It's a woman. The mayor, I guess a couple of years ago, said, you know, we need a rat czar. And he brought in this woman. And I'm like, what are you nuts? I'm like, we don't need a woman. We don't need a human. We need cats. You know, I one of the stories I tell about McSorley's Ale House, famous bar in New York City, when they had cats, they had no rats. And after their last cat was kicked out by the New York City Board of Health, a few years later, McSorley's was shut down because they had too many rats. So there's your answer. You don't need a rat czar. You need bodega cats and other kind of cats.
Yeah, working cats. Yeah.
Yep. And that's, I mean, cats were mousers way from way back. Well, you're the historians more than I do, but I've done my share of reading historical books with hosting Catitude for the last eight years. But cats were originally mousers, and they still have that stalking prey instinct. Mine don't. I don't know why, but others.
Mine don't either.
Yeah, mine will see, like, if a bug comes in. When it rains here, they just come out, the bugs. It doesn't matter what. I don't have tons. I'll find, like, one a week, but my cats just don't even pay attention. Lizards, though, they get excited about. Lizards, I just try to bring outside. But, yeah, they just look. But I've never seen a rodent. So I guess the scent of the cats keep them away. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah, exactly. And we have mice and we have rats. And the rats are way bigger than the mice. So the cats typically don't go after the rats. They're sometimes as big as the cat.
Oh, my God.
But it's just the smell of the cat. You know, its presence, sometimes like the urine. If it could smell that, it's enough of a deterrent. It will go after mice, though. If it's small, then they will go after those. But typically, rats just stay away from these types of bodegas.
That's a good thing. But I cannot imagine a 7-pound rat. And that's a very tiny, small cat. Or an 8.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine are big cats. They're just big, like 18 pounds. An 18-pound rat, oh, I think should be called something else.
Yeah. Yeah. A bear, yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. Bodega cats have been a part of New York City for a really long time. The bodegas themselves have their own kind of interesting history. So in the 1950s, 1960s, Puerto Rican families came to New York City. They kind of coined the phrase bodega, which actually is funny because it translates to a warehouse or like a cellar. It doesn't directly translate to like convenience store in Spanish, but somehow it's stuck and it's become synonymous with like the cultural, with the culture of New York City, right? I always like to say that New York City runs on bodegas. And it's true, even during COVID, they were open and, you know, they really were there for New Yorkers. And every neighborhood has, you know, their token bodega, and some of them have multiple bodegas, but they really, you know, kind of intertwine themselves with the cultural fabric of New York City. And so have bodega cats. And the account that I run, Bodega Cats of New York, on Instagram is really a testament to that. It's what we're doing is documenting bodega cats. They are here. They're not going anywhere. They're part of the fabric here, and our job is just to document and, you know, post photos that our followers send us, and we get dozens of photos a week, and we're really thankful to all of our followers for sharing those with us, and also like telling people from outside New York City what bodega cats are. And I think our account is a really good example of what healthy, you know, happy bodega cats look like.
There's controversy around bodega cats because you mentioned happy and healthy, but there's some controversy. I think it generally stems from lack of knowledge, which is where that comes from. But some people think, you know, oh, it's cruel to have bodega cats, or, you know, bodega cats, because some bodegas have, like, you know, like you said, deli, and, you know, then you have cats there, or salad areas, and, you know, you have cats there. So there's some negative component to this. My personal belief is I think the cats are fine. They're prey creatures. They just are. So it's nothing against their, you know, DNA. That's my personal opinion. But what would you say, because there is controversy, some people think it's cruel to have bodega cats. They're just working and whatever. And some people are just, you know, they shouldn't be in an area where there's food. I don't buy that either. In Europe, they're all over restaurants, dogs too. So what do you say to those people that just say that, oh, it's terrible. It's either abuseful to comment on bodega cats, or just have a negative vibe about bodega cats?
Yeah. So there's a couple of common misconceptions. And I should preface and say that, like, the cat rescue organizations are doing fantastic jobs. And they're really the ones that are day in, day out caring for bodega cats. They're the ones checking in on them. So hats off to, like, cat rescue organizations. And we work with a lot of them. We just raised $8,000 in a fundraiser, and we donated all the money to 4 different cat rescues that we work with. But yeah, bodega cats are starved, or they're, you know, locked away 24/7. It's not the case. They're not starved. A lot of people say they're starved so that they are trained to only eat mice. There's not that many mice. These cats would starve to death. It's a silly misconception. It's not true. It's a complete myth. These cats, the ones that we visited, are fed. They are well cared for. They're stable in the community. They get so much love and so much attention throughout the day from regulars passing, you know, in and out. Do all bodegas treat their cats equally? Definitely not. There's absolutely abuse, and there's neglect that happens in terms of inside of bodegas. But, you know, it happens everywhere. It's not exclusive to bodegas. Animal abuse happens everywhere.
Right. Unfortunately, it does. And I was going to comment that can happen from someone adopting a cat. That can happen from a cat hoarder. There's plenty of others. And then what's your third point?
Well, I was going to say, by documenting them, what we're trying to do is encourage shop owners to take pride in their cats, right? To really showcase their cats and be proud of their cats, which hopefully will raise the bar for the cat's well-being. So not just having the bodega owner care for their cat and love their cat, but also, like, people that see our account and see Bodega Cats of Instagram, or see the Shop Cat Show on Instagram, we want Yorkers to fall in love with bodega cats, and we want them to care when something happens. Oftentimes, these cats will get snatched from a store, they'll get stolen, or they'll go missing, or sometimes they get hit by a car, and the community outpouring is huge. People really get upset when bad things happen to their local bodega cats. So hopefully, by showcasing these cats, we're making people care more, and we're trying to avoid the out-of-sight, you know, out of sight, out of mind kind of, you know, idea where let's put these cats in front of people. Let's get them to really care about their neighborhood cats. And hopefully, you know, that's what we're doing with our account. Just showcasing these are what healthy cats look like. Let's make sure that they all look like this.
Right. Do you think bodega cats could influence cat adoption from rescues or shelters a little? Maybe for someone who doesn't have a cat, who sees a bodega cat all the time and thinks, you know, maybe I should get a cat.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
It's a stretch, but I'm just wondering, because the more that are adopted, the less that are, you know, the other.
Sure.
And so.
Well.
It can't hurt.
Yeah, no, it can't hurt. I would hope that, like, the people that really care about their bodega cat who haven't adopted a cat just yet, number one, I absolutely hope they adopt a cat from a rescue organization. But until then, if you haven't adopted a cat yet, check in on your local bodega cat. Ask the owner to spay and to neuter their cats. That is a huge problem in New York City, as it is everywhere. But yes, especially in New York City, there is a massive feral cat problem. And bodega owners are not spaying and neutering their cats as much as they should. So I would say, until you get your own cat, treat the bodega cat as your cat. Ask the bodega owner if they spay and they neuter their cat until you get yours.
What I was meaning is people visiting the bodega cat, like every day, oh, I stop there 5 times a week, I see this cat, and then I should get my own. The other thing is people sometimes say, well, sometimes the boat, because it's not the easiest to transport cats, so the cats stay like overnight, you know, in the store by themselves. To me, that's not an issue. Cats do sleep. I mean, some are nocturnal, but they do sleep. And what would you say to someone who says they're by themselves when the store is closed?
It does happen. I mean, these cats are left alone for a period of time. I think that they've really gotten used to kind of the solitude at night. A lot of these bodegas are open 24/7, but the ones that are not, yeah, I mean, I think they just get used to the solitude. These are working animals, right? So I think we should look at it through a different lens and just consider them. These are cats with a purpose. And when you see these cats, you notice that they feel their purpose and that they know that they're there as a working animal. So I think maybe just looking at it through a different lens kind of helps. But I would love for these cats to have attention 24/7. But during the operating hours of these bodegas, they get a ton of love and a ton of attention from people passing through the bodegas.
That's good to hear. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, there's probably a couple favorites. I'll tell you my favorite, and then I'll tell you a quick story if we have time.
Okay, sure, sure.
Okay. My favorite is probably Tiger in Williamsburg. He's on Metropolitan Avenue. He's a Scottish Fold cat. And the owner there, his name's Chiku, very, very nice guy, very kind guy. He let me, I was interviewed by News 12, which is actually kind of funny. That's where Peggy and I met. We were both interviewed for the same segment on News 12. And I reached out on Instagram to the owner and I said, hey, would it be cool if like a news crew came to your bodega and we filmed with you and your cat and we asked you a couple questions? And he said, absolutely, come by. Come by. It's still on my website. If you guys want to watch the video, we have the video there. But that cat, or the owner of that cat, Chiku, he cares for his cat deeply. He was showing me photos of when Tiger went to the vet and when he got his second bodega cat in a different location in Williamsburg. And he's a really shining star type of example of a bodega owner that cares deeply about his cat, takes the cat home every single night. And I think that should be the standard, right? Like how happy that cat is. He does his own Instagram page. People stop in just to pet
Tiger.
Oh,
wow.
So he's probably my favorite. And Scottish Folds are like the very common breed of bodega cats. So it's cool to see, you know, a traditional Scottish Fold with his ears, you know, and a tabby coat. Really funny story. And I'll keep this one kind of brief, not to hog up all the time, but there was a cat named Zorro. I won't mention exactly where he is, but he's in Alphabet City in New York City. This cat named Zorro, he's at a Mexican restaurant out there. And the owner was telling me that a health inspector, so health inspectors are kind of key here because bodega cats are technically illegal. You're not technically allowed to have them. A lot of times the health inspectors will look the other way. Sometimes it's better to have a cat than to have a rodent infestation. So they kind of look the other way. They understand that there's like this kind of funny New York City catch 22 that happens with bodega cats. But anyway, the health inspector came looking for infestation, for any violations, code violations, and he saw the cat, didn't really care. He saw the food, saw the water, didn't really care about the cat. He was there looking for, you know, bigger issues. And the owner of this bodega cat was a little bit nervous because sometimes they do get a summons for having a cat. It's about $200 for having a cat in a place that serves food. And the health inspector was on his way out. The owner of the bodega was pretty relieved. As the inspector is reaching for the door, he grabs the handle, he pulls back the handle, and then the cat named Zorro takes his claw out, scratches the health inspector from elbow to wrist, and a nice cut on his arm. And so the health inspector closes the door. He looks back at the owner of the Mexican restaurant. He's like, "Really, man, really?" And the guy's like, "Hey, sorry, it's a cat. There's nothing I can do. I'm sorry." But he still didn't get a summons. The guy walked out. Everything's okay. But that was my favorite because, you know, Zorro, the sword fighter, leaving a nice claw on a health inspector.
Right. Well, kudos to that, that health inspector. You know what? That's just how cats are. You never know. You can pet one and then all of a sudden they don't want, like, wow, you know, the claws just come. So
that's right.
I just saw something on the news today, though, that New York is considering making bodega cats legal. It just popped up on my thing, so I don't know what's happening with that, but that would be pretty cool.
We started that a petition. It got about, I think it's 13,000 signatures on change.org, and we were asking for the city council to legalize bodega cats, not so that there's a ton more of bodega cats, but just so that the city can step in and enforce minimum standards of care for bodega cats, right? So right now the city, they can't force bodega owners to spay and to neuter. There's not a lot the city can do, even though they want to help these cats that live in these stores. They can't do anything about it while they're illegal. So what we're saying is, hey, city council, legalize bodega cats. Let's make them official workers of the store. And that way the city can step in and provide resources and maybe, you know, allocate funding to cat rescues to help these bodega cats through kind of this proxy of this cat rescue. Yeah, Keith Powers introduced or is going to introduce legislation based on our petition.
That is great news. Okay, we're just about out of time. Where can people find out more about Cats About Town tours and about Bodega Cats of New York? And thank you both, Peggy and Daniel, for coming on Catitude.
Yeah, take it away, Dan. Yeah.
Great. And so for the cat tours, we are discoverable at catsabouttowntours.com. You can book tours up until, I guess, the end of December. Once it gets a little too cold, probably going to start shutting down, and then we'll be back up in the spring. And for the listeners at home, we have a coupon code for $10 off a tour if you'd like to come on. So it's Attitude2025, all one word, all uppercase. You get $10 off for being a listener to Pet Life Radio. And for the Bodega Cats, it's at Bodega Cats of New York on Instagram, and it's the same name, BodegaCatsOfNewYork.com. We sell merch there, and you'll find out more about our petitions and about our fundraising efforts, so you can learn more there.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Daniel. Peggy, what would you tell listeners that are thinking about making a trip to New York and thinking, should I squeeze in a cat tour or I don't know? So what would you tell them that... why that they should, yes, you should go on this Cats About Town tour. Absolutely.
All you got to do is look at our Google reviews. We have got, I mean, all of our reviews are 5-star, and we have a lot of tourists. I had just this week, I had tourists from North Carolina. We get people from California, and they do give us these 5-star reviews, and they say, you know, we were looking for a tour. We were looking for something in New York City. We were looking for something different. And we stumbled upon Cats About Tours, and it's the best decision we made. It's the best tour we could have possibly chosen out of all of the other tours that are out there, because it's just so unique and it's just really fun. So just go to Google and you'll see the proof.
Well, thank you so much. I'm interested. Cats history, I'm there. So again, thank you, Peggy and Daniel, so much for coming on Catitude. And I guess I should say, stay warm.
Well, we hope you come up and visit us, and just reach out to us if you come up and you want to go on a tour. You are our guest.
Oh, I appreciate that. I hope you guys all enjoyed this. If you're in New York, definitely check out Cats About Town Tours. There's a lot besides cats. There's a lot of history involved, and I'm sure you will love it. I want to thank my guests today, Peggy and Daniel, for coming on Catitude. Thanks to my cat crew. They are all from South Florida who rescued me. So thank you, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. Of course, huge thank you to everybody listening to Catitude. Greatly appreciated. And a huge, huge, amazing thank you to my producer for all he does. He makes our shows sound amazing. Thank you, Mark Winter, for all you do. And remember, lose the attitude. Have Catitude.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand.
only on PetLifeRadio.com.